Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 143 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Faris Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is a special episode of our discussion panel. In light of Ace Frehley's solo effort, 10,000 Volts, we are going to discuss the premise that through his solo career, Ace continues to celebrate his history without having to fully rely on it. With his latest album, we are also going to answer the question, did lightning strike twice?
To help us answer this question, we are once again joined by our returning panel guest, Patrick DeMontigny. Welcome back to the show, Pat.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And we are also so honored to have a special guest on this discussion panel. So we interviewed Cartone back on episode 63, where we discussed his musical career and, of course, his love for Kiss. Now, with a new album of his own, At It Again, from the Cartone Band, please welcome back to the show our dear friend, Cartone. Welcome, buddy.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Welcome back, my friend.
Discussion. That is awesome.
But Kurt, before we start, you know, the last time we talked, it was about a year away before you were going to release your new album. Tell us a little bit about those few months leading up to the release of your new album.
Well, lots of work.
Sure.
You know, back and forth studio between tour dates and just all the things. It took us, you know, much longer to put this album out because of the pandemic, because we started right at the beginning of the pandemic. And then we went through all of the things that everybody went through. And so we, you know, it took us a much longer process for us because we don't have our own studio. So we go to a studio. And in that process, there's a lot of other bands that do the, in that same studio, you know, major label, mainly independent label. And so, it, you know, we had to share that time and make up time and all kind of stuff. But the good news is that we got it. We're very, very pleased with it. We have Barry Lee Harwood guest on it, doing slide and acoustic guitar, mandolin on Flowers, and he played with Skinner. Well, he was in the Rosalind Collins Band, the Alan Collins Band. He also did a lot of the early Lynyrd Skynyrd stuff. You hear mandolin, and Ronnie even gives him a shout out in
nice.
Street Survivors album during, you know, in the song. He says, "Play Barry." And so it's a you know, we have Carol Bristow Zur, we have Barry Rapp, and so Carol Bristow is from 38 Special. She was in Lynyrd Skynyrd also. And then she was a honkette during the 87 tribute tour and 38 Special for many years before that with Dale Krantz Rosington, also from 38, who went on to do Rosalind Collins. So a lot of musical history. Barry Rapp was with the Henry Paul Band. And then, so we've all just been, you know, musicians pretty much our entire life, mm-hmm. one way or another. So a lot of that. So we got the album, and Rodney Mills, who mastered Atlanta Rhythm Section, Skynyrd, 38 Special, a litany. I mean, he has over 50 million albums sold with his credit on it. So he's the guy that mastered it. So he finally was able to master it in his studio. And then we literally today gave the okay for the test pressing, the artwork. So it should be in production soon for our vinyl.
Yes.
So we've got 500 limited edition orange, translucent orange vinyl coming out on it. How cool is it?
Oh, man. I want the first.
There you go.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Yeah, we're so excited because that's a dream of mine, you know, as a kid, you know, holding out those Kiss albums or Alice Cooper, all that stuff. And you just look at it for hours while you're flipping through records, and it was always a dream. But I was at the age, you know, coming into it, we could only do cassettes. That's all we could afford because we couldn't put it on vinyl. And then it was CDs, And I always wanted to do vinyl, but we could never really afford to do that. And I said, this one, we're doing vinyl, and that's it. I don't care. We're doing vinyl. So I'm super, super excited. Just so, so excited. And we've got some really, really cool plans coming up if everything works out for a listening party. So,
nice.
So our website, thekirktownband.com, and signs up on our email list. It is going to be an event, just like KISS, in the sense of, you know, KISS is always about events. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what I try to do too for the band. We all try to do events.
Fantastic.
Kurt, can you give our listeners and even us, you know, just what we can expect from the new album? So, what's the musical style? What's the lyrical content and the message that you were trying to convey through the album?
Well, see the big backdrop back here?
Sir.
The album. and so what it is, so growing up, and, you know, I had a little Honda 70 motorcycle growing up and as a kid, and I grew up on mini bikes and then motorcycles, and I always loved orange sparkle was my favorite, just orange is my favorite color. So I always wanted an orange sparkle helmet, but I couldn't find one. I had a red sparkle helmet. And it's all about just having fun. So I love Evel Knievel, but you can't have Evel Knievel's helmet on there. You know, you get in trouble. So we got a little reference to Evel Knievel. And the irony is I was kind of racking my brain trying to think, what could we name it? In the band, we're trying to think, what can we name this? What can we name this? And we went back and forth on a couple of names. And I just thought, add it again, you know, add it again. So my mom and I were talking, and she said, boy, you're at it again. And I said, it's funny you should say that.
There you go. You got it.
So it's about having a good time. Hopefully what it is when you listen to the album, I hope, you know, I mean, we put a lot of effort into it, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of time into it. You know, we didn't hold back on emotion or anything. And so I hope that it just takes you to a time where you didn't have to worry about so much. You just enjoyed the moment. And so that's why it's a gatefold sleeve. It's like a photo album, you know, like a family album. Yeah. So nice. It's going to be that way on the album, but bigger. And so it's just to give, you know, to interact with it. You know, that's one of the cool things about the KISS stuff and the Alice Cooper stuff. You know, when you know, back in the day, you would open an album, you would put it on, and you would interact with it. You would sit there, listen to it, and your imagination would go wild because you saw all these cool pictures. Or I remember KISS Alive, and I'm reading their notes to the fans, and I'm thinking, they wrote that, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the message. I mean, it just kind of, it's all the truth. It's, you know, it's just fun. One way or the other, and we just hope that people are entertained by it and they have a good time. That's really the gist of it. We just want it to be something that that they enjoy. That's the purpose of music, right? So
absolutely,
so they enjoy it. We hope everyone who listens to it enjoys it.
And in the tradition of all great albums, what a great opener, Cyclone.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic. It really sets the stage for the rest of the for the album.
Thank you very much. I pray about everything before we do it. And so you want something, for me, when you put out these albums, you want it to have a bookends, so to say. So you want it to make that statement, you know, you want to come out there, you know, punching. And then, you know, you want to soften it down a little bit. You want to kind of ease into the groove a little bit. And then, you know, you want to make that final statement. But the whole time, the idea is, even if someone doesn't necessarily love this song so much, but they love the other songs, then they're just kind of going with the whole thing. So they are enjoying the moment. So they
go together.
Want to skip it. You know, they don't want to skip to the next.
Right.
And even if it, you know, you like that one and you can't wait for the next one, but you love the one before it. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And you don't always get that. But the idea is that you don't feel like you need to skip. That's
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Claire and I recorded an episode of Let Me Know about the Ace Frehley album. And I was saying how I listened to the first couple of singles And, you know, Walking on the Moon, I wasn't crazy about it, but I liked it better when I heard it in the context of the entire album. And I think for this, the first song I heard before I even heard the entire album was Cyclone. And this really put in context the rest of the album. And a lot of the songs really follows the style of that song and the context of that song. It was a great album throughout.
Thank you so very much. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, sometimes there's missteps, you know, with the order of the songs. In this case, man, in your album, this is perfect. It is perfect. Oh, you know, it fits the bill. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Super nice.
Yeah. So before we start our discussion panel, where can fans get the album?
Well, if you go to the KurtTownBand.com, and that's Kurt with a C and Town with an E. So if you go to the KurtTownBand.com, you can get it there. And we have T-shirts and we have other things. And I encourage you, please sign up on our email list. That's real important to us because we get to see, you know, we're all over the world where people are, you know, listening. And so we've been very blessed. A lot of, you know, Germany, France, Italy, Japan, all over, you know, North America. It's really, you know, a lot of Canadian, you know, people as far as, you know, the fans. It's hard for me to say fans because I consider, you know, friends. It's hard for me to say fans. Yeah. So, you know, forgive me if I'm kind of stumbling on the fans thing. It's kind of one of those things. I'm a fan of Kiss. Absolutely. But, you know, when people come and see us or whatever, I consider it friends.
So, love it. So speaking of new albums, then, you know, as we all know, Ace just recently released the new album, 10,000 Volts. And Kurt, you came up with the premise that Ace continues to celebrate his history without relying on it. So this is a great topic. So let's jump in and discuss this premise and answer the question. So did lightning strike twice? Pask.
So to answer this question, we're going to go right to the beginning. So do you believe Ace was given the respect as a musician and songwriter in the band, or was he seen like as an outcast or even an underdog member of the band? Patrick, we'll start with you.
For my part, I think Gene and Paul were pretty open to what Ace had to offer because right into Hotter Than Hell, he submitted to songs that they were willing, Gene and Paul, to say, we're going to put aside our own material to include this on the album, Parasite and Strange Way. So I think that says a lot. I think, you know, again, we weren't there. I think the problem was for Ace to provide a good quantity of material, but I don't think he was an underdog because I think I see him as the George Harrison of Kiss in the sense that he had one or two songs that, wow, you know, this is from Ace. So now I think had circumstances been different, he could have, you know, blossomed more, I think even. So underdog of Kiss, I'm not sure about that. I think it's just a matter of there's so much space on the record and you have to provide the good, the right material to fit. So again, even on Dress to Kill, same thing. He has at least two songs if memory serves. So I think that says a lot.
Okay. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, I think that's a great assessment. I think that, you know, Ace was so shy about his singing and he probably, you know, took it to the guys, especially when he wrote lyrics and whatnot, said, hey, what do you think about this? And kind of mumbled it and that type of thing. And I totally understand that. But during Shock Me, when he, you know, kind of was forced to really kind of come of his own, so to say, I think that at that point, when they went to do their solo albums, I think that, you know, because Gene and Paul said admittedly that they said, well, maybe we should help Ace and, you know, kind of. And I think at that point, they were pretty sure of themselves. And thought, you know, that those, you know, nothing against them. I think they're all great. But I think they thought, well, their albums are going to do the best. Mm-hmm. And Pure and Ace's aren't. And, you know, maybe we'll help Ace since he was the one struggling with singing, you know. And everyone was surprised, including Ace. So I think he took that And he, as a challenge, he said, well, I'll show these guys. And he did it. And, you know, he got Eddie Kramer before the rest of the band could get Eddie Kramer, and they all wanted Eddie Kramer. Yes, so, you know, he had that rock edge that, that is so ace. So I think that he has been, not necessarily the underdog. I think that he's always kind of had the ace in the hole, pun intended, but he's always been able to pull it out and not fully rely on Kiss, where I don't think the other three members have really been able to do. I think Paul Stanley is brilliant in every way, and I think he could have done that, but you know, he focused on Kiss, thankfully, so we could all enjoy Kiss. But I think Ace is just kind of his own guy, and he just continues to put out great music. So underdog, maybe that fuels his fire to, you know, keep putting out music.
Yeah. Nicely okay. said. It's interesting because I, you know, I'm basically going to build up on what Kurt and Pat were saying. I think it has to do a lot of with personality, right? So having two so strong personalities like Gene and Paul, the other two members, of course, they're going to look like maybe underdog or outcast. But in terms of his contribution as a musician, as a songwriter, it's undeniable that he's a huge part of Kiss. So look what happened with Kiss Alive. I don't think that Kiss could have had the success they had with Kiss Alive if he weren't of Ace. You know, those solos, you know, those, you know, what he's doing in the whole record, it's a stamp, you know, it's a staple of the sound of Kiss. And now, you know, we have the proof. You know, he's been really prolific in releasing music. You know, some people might not like it or whatever. You know, it's a little bit, you know, it hasn't been constant in terms of quality. But look, he's a rocker, man, and he keeps playing, and he's not going to stop playing. So, I don't think he has been seen as an outcast or even an underdog. To me, it's at the same level as Paul, Gene, and Peter. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I think I'm going to disagree with you guys on this one, because to this day, it seems like Ace always needs something to prove. When he was promoting his new album, he was saying, oh, Paul and Gene will look like imbeciles. He was putting Paul and Gene, then I'm going to show them. This has been a pattern in his entire solo career from day one. And why is that? Because I do believe he was the underdog. He wasn't an equal member of the band as we were led to believe by Paul and Gene. Absolutely not. And we're very fond of saying Ace and Peter were the founding members of the band. No, they weren't. Paul and Gene were the founding members. They were the original members. But this has, in my opinion, this has always been the Paul and Gene show. And Peter and Ace better do what we want according to our vision. And that's what they did, especially, you know, the first three albums, till Ace realized, hey, I can do better, you know, with Shock Me and so on. And then with the solo album, look what I can do. He was never given, in my opinion, the opportunities to do that, because it's always been the Paul and Gene show. And yes, Claudio, he has a huge stamp on the band with his solos. But imagine how bigger he could have been given the opportunity if Paul and Gene gave it to him.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah. So now, speaking of Ace's career, solo career in particular. So how would you guys rate Ace's solo career after he left Kiss with, for example, Freely's Comet? So would you rate it as mildly successful, or highly successful, and why? Kurt, I'm going to start with you.
Wow. Okay, okay, as a kid, I'm thinking, you know, I saw the Washburn ad, and I saw Ace Frehley's first public appearance without makeup. And I was like, wow. And he's not playing a Gibson, which was even more going, wow. But it's a Space Lightning Bolt guitar. So I think, okay. So I was so excited Freely's Comet's coming, you know, Anton Figg, who was on, you know, Ace Frehley's solo album. And so I thought, well, this is great. And I hadn't heard of Todd Hallworth, and I'd heard of John Regan a little bit with, you know, the things that he had done with Peter Frampton and whatnot. But Ace Frehley was my guy. And so I was super excited. When it came out, Rock Soldiers, that was it. You know, I was hooked. And I thought, this is great. The Ace is back because he told you so, you know, and this is great. So as it progressed, and then I loved the Todd Hallworth stuff. I thought that was great. I loved all of it. And as it progressed, the thing that I think for me, I'm lucky is I never really have any expectations of the album coming out. So I just kind of take it for what it is. So I don't go, well, it's got to be as good as the Ace Frehley solo album with Kiss, or it has to be as good as Kiss, or the last Kiss album has to be better than this, you know, and all that. I don't do that. So that's one of the things that I'm happy about. I just kind of take it for what it is. So as it progressed, you know, I have, I've liked them. Some I've loved, some I not so much. Had songs on it. Insane is still one of my favorite songs by Ace Frehley ever, mm-hmm. You know. And then you got Ace Frehley, without Frehley's Comet. And then it just progressed until what we have today. And I was excited that, you know, Richie Scarlett is going to be, you know, on an album. And, you know, so I've enjoyed him. I'm grateful that he keeps putting out great records. Is every one my favorite? No, but I have favorite songs on every one. So
mm-hmm. There you go, Patrick.
I would say, to answer the question, that his career was mildly successful. I don't kid myself that, you know, outside of the circle of Kiss fans, he attracted many people who are not Kiss fans that say, oh, I'm an Ace fan, and oh, I didn't know he was in Kiss. I don't think there's many of those. Having said that, I think he's successful in a way that he's the captain of the ship, and you can tell that he's happy with that. And, you know, I think he tried in the 80s to adapt to the 80s. I don't think he was trying to live in the past. It was like he's trying, because when you listen to the Frehley's Comet stuff, I feel it's very 80s, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That was the era. I feel it was very 80s. So he's trying to adapt. As when he released Trouble Walking, I think that it was a return to a more vintage sound with Eddie Kramer producing and having Peter sing a couple like backup vocals. And of course, after that, it was Animally and all the rest. And I think he's doing what he wants. And I think that's the success. He's no Ozzy, he's no Paul McCartney or Phil Collins or any of those people who came from huge bands and have huge careers. But I think he's happy where he is right now.
Okay. So when you say mildly successful, so you basically you make reference to how he feels, not about, you know, record sales or numbers.
Well,
or
like mildly successful, that it's only like a portion of Kiss fans, not even diehard, not all the diehards will go and check him out and follow his career. So that's why it's mildly successful. Okay. But I think at this point, it's not that important. I think he's happy where he is. And I think that's what matters most.
Good point. Busk, what do you think?
I agree with Pat. It was mildly successful, in my opinion. It's ironic, based on what I said earlier, you know, in the band, it would have been amazing if he was allowed to let loose a little bit. But at the same time, it's Ace Frehley. You need the reins on that guy, or he loses control. You know, and you kind of saw that with his first three albums. His first album, solo album, was a great album. The second one, I think from what I read, he was back into his addictions or still in his addictions. And it was basically Todd and John that steered that ship throughout. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for them, that solo career would have been over. So, you know, Ace peaked with a 78 solo album. And that could have been a springboard to so many more great things, but he just didn't have the drive to take it further because of his addictions. And again, ironically, he needed the reins of the band to be successful. And it just shows that on his own, without any kind of guidance or control, it's difficult for him. And that's why, again, going back to this, to 10,000 volts, you know, he, in a sense, he was reined in with the production, with the lyrics, with the solos, and just came up with an amazing album as a result. That could have been his solo career early on.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, very, really interesting. Well, I'm with you guys. So, but basically, you cover it all. So, to me, same thing. You know, to me, it could be deemed as mildly successful. The thing is how you measure success. You know, because you know, Ace being in Kiss, you know, he's always going to be compared with the '78 album or even the Kiss albums. But I think he found his way. I agree with you, Pask. You know, the first album was great, and then you know some of the later stuff that he released, like Anomaly, Spaceman, and all of that. It wasn't that great in my opinion. Okay, I think this is a nice comeback from Ace now with 10,000 volts. You know, we're gonna talk about later, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that. Reminds me of the good vibes of the 80s, you know, and even the 78 album. So I think he's happy now, as Pat was saying before, and you can feel it, you know, through the music. I think he's in his comfort zone, which is great, you know, for any musician, you know, and Kurt, you know, knows better than anybody else. When you're happy, when you really feel what you're playing, you know, it comes out great. You know,
yeah, and I think, you know, I was looking at, for instance, his signing at Sam Ash, and there was over 1,500 people in line, and people coming in from other countries and from all over the country, and they were there because they love Ace. So, in my opinion, as far as his success, I think it's been again, you know, what he wanted, you know, the level he wanted. Obviously, you could have had people wrangling him in, and he could have gone and done bigger things if he allowed himself to. Mm-hmm. But I think in this situation, if you compare it to former KISS members or KISS members in general, I think his career has been more successful on his own than everybody's.
Yeah.
He's been more successful. Longevity in itself says everything you need to know. I mean, in a musician's life, if you have longevity, and that's an amazing, amazing thing is longevity. So I think he's happy. I love 10,000 volts. I think Steve Brown and Ace Frehley did a great job working together. And Steve's, you know, love of KISS and his passion shows in that also. So I think it's great. I think the songs are great. You know, certainly, like you said, when you listen to them together, you really tend to like them more. Mm-hmm. And I got the album Friday. And then, of course, I had to go get the Walmart cover for the Lightning Bolts, too. So I got that. That's awesome. I hope they have it on vinyl because I want that on a vinyl with the Lightning Bolt thing. But anyway, so, you know, I've listened to it over and over again. And normally for myself, whenever I listen to an album, it's hard for me to get into it the first time around. Sometimes I have an album, I'm like, man, I love it from the beginning. And this one, you know, this one is more like that. I really love it. I think he's successful. I would agree with you guys, but I think he's hugely successful in longevity. He's certainly outdone every member of KISS in mm-hmm. longevity by mm-hmm. far, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. other than being in KISS.
But look how lucky we are. KISS has reached the end of the road, and we still have new music and amazing new music coming from an original member. That's incredible.
Yeah. I agree. I hope they all do that. You know, I really do. I really hope they all do that. And I will say this. I've always been a huge Peter Criss fan. I would love nothing more than to sit down with Peter Criss and write some rocking tunes and put out an album.
That would be awesome.
Baby Driver, you know, some you know, hooligan stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Rocking tunes, man. I would love that. And I love Peter Criss's album. I have every one of them. But I'm just saying, you know, it's time to rock, Peter Criss. Let's go, man. Give me a call. I'm there. Yeah.
Okay, let's go a little bit into the future here. It's in 1996 with the reunion tour. And once again, Ace was in KISS. And once again, he left Kiss to pursue a solo career with another trilogy of albums, Anomaly, Space Invader, and Spaceman. So what are your thoughts about that particular attempt at a solo career? Because I see it as two attempts, the original and now this one. What are your thoughts? Claudio, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to just, speak of, the music of what I like and what I don't like about those albums. And I have to say that that trilogy there, Anomaly, Space Invader, and Spaceman, I can say that they are not my favorites. You know, it's there's a lot of ups and downs in those albums. You know, some good tunes, yeah. But if you were to ask me, do I listen to those albums today? No, I don't. So if I want to go on and rock it out with Ace, I'm gonna put, you know, Freely's Comet or the 78. Maybe I'm gonna put a little bit of Trouble Walking there, and the last one, and 10,000 Volts. But these specific three, it doesn't get to me. I don't know. I've been trying, you know, so that they grow on me. But there's something that doesn't click. I don't know what he was trying to do, but I think he was trying to find himself, actually, on what he wanted to do. He tried many different things, which is not the case with 10,000 Volts. To me, 10,000 Volts now, and excuse me to come back always to the comparison of the latest album, that's pure Ace for me. You know, of course, a lot of stuff coming from Steve Brown. You can tell that, you know, there's a strong collaboration there. But those three, Anomaly, Space Invader, and Spaceman, it doesn't sound like Ace to me.
Okay. Patrick.
Well, I think in that second trilogy, which I like the concept that you brought out about those being trilogies, I think that's the one where you wanted to experiment a little bit more. And of course, I think he also was not afraid to show his attachment to the persona that it created, the Spaceman, because when you think about it, he talked about, you know, like Space Invaders, Spaceman, so that's his theme. And I think he's not afraid to confirm that in his music. And musically, like, I think my least favorite was Spaceman. Spaceman, for some reason, was I'm with Claudio on that one. The other two I thought were good. This one was a little weaker. For some reason, it was harder for me to get into it. I think it was, I played it, as a matter of fact, last week, and I was like, you know, there's this part missing, but
yeah.
Given the quantity of albums that he has produced in the last years, I think he can get away with that. But yeah, this one was a little weaker for some reason. But the rest is, you know, I think he doesn't try to sound like Kiss. Okay, this is me on my own, and I'm going to experiment. If people like it, great. If they don't, then I'll try better next time. But at least he's trying. That's what I like. You know, sometimes, like, even with other artists, they try things, but at least they try not to repeat themselves. And I think that's what he's trying to do, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Okay. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, I liked them when they came out. Anomaly, Fox on the Run, when it came out with that, I thought, well, that's cool. Yeah. I love melody. So I thought it was a good choice for him. And I really do enjoy the album. Spaceman was not as much, I agree, but I did listen to him for a time, but I agree with you guys. I didn't necessarily, it wasn't my go-to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I could very well see 10,000 Volts being in that go-to stuff. I think his new band is great. I really enjoy the new band. There's a lot of high energy in there, and I like that. So of that particular trilogy, I would definitely say Anomaly is my favorite of those, but I do enjoy them. But that one would be the one that I would go to for the three of those.
Okay.
I know, people who know me know I'm not a big Ace fan, and I found that this trilogy of albums was typical Ace, nothing beyond that. And I bought them to support Ace. I bought multiple copies of most of those albums. And, you know, I listened to it before 10,000 Volts came out. And they were just there. It was okay. Each album had a few good songs that I really liked, but overall, a lot of them's like, well, I could skip through it. But like you, Claudio, I'll listen to it maybe once in a while, but it's not one of my go-to albums. If I had a go-to album for Ace, it would be, his first trilogy of albums, but again, this trilogy of albums is almost 10,000 volts without the production and the auto tuning and all that and the help that he got with that album. And I think if he had that support for these albums, I think these albums would have been a lot better, in my opinion.
Okay. And another very interesting concept by Ace was the release of album of covers, for songs that actually had a big influence on him as a musician. So we're talking about Origins 1 and 2. Do you think that those two albums, Pascal, I'm going to start with you. Do you think that they were a step in the right direction of Ace as a solo artist?
I think it was a step in the right direction in the sense that it was interesting to learn about his musical influences. That was really cool because knowing that, you had a deeper appreciation for his previous work. And after hearing Origins and you go back to his previous work, it's like, I understand now why he wrote this song, why this song sounds that way. My only beef on it was that some of those songs are just classics. And I'm sorry, in my opinion, Ace didn't have the voice to pull off some of those songs. I think the Origins album would have been better if it was done like BK3, where he sang a few of the songs, but he had other musicians come in and sing others. I think it still would have told the same story. It's two albums about his musical influences, but I think it would have been a lot better if more musicians played on it and he sang less on those
Okay.
songs.
Great point. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, I, Fire and Water, I heard that with him and Paul, and I was like, I have to have this. I have to.
You heard crying.
And at first, I thought, oh man, they're doing covers. Okay. I mean, a whole album of covers. And then, like Spanish Castle Magic, I remember being a kid and we were playing Spanish Castle Magic. And a lot of the guys, we used to play a biker bar when I was a kid, and a bunch of the Outlaws, not the band, but the actual motorcycle gang, and would be there, and they're like, who are these kids that know these songs? You guys are cool, and so I instantly went back to that, hearing that, so when he covered the Hendrix on both albums, I thought it was great. I just kind of accepted it for his love and appreciation for it. So I didn't really think so much about other people getting in there and singing. I thought more of a celebration than anything else, and that's kind of how I took it. Space Truckin' blew me away. I was like, wow. I didn't compare it, to Deep Purple, but I thought, okay, it's great. It's great. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm being entertained. So I enjoy them both. The first Origins more than the second Origins probably. But and when I heard he was putting out a second Origins, I was like, another album of cover tunes. So, I think it was done, from more of a sincere part of him paying tribute to those songs. So I enjoy it.
Good. Nice. Patrick.
Yeah, I think it's just him having fun and saying, oh, by the way, here's the stuff that I love. And he's not the first to have done cover albums, like their Ozzy did one, and probably a few more that escape me now. But I think he's having fun. That's the feeling I have from the whole career. And I was like, hey, I want to do an album full of covers. Hey, why not? I'm having fun. A second one, was it really needed? Probably not, but I think at the same time, again, he was having fun with it. And I think the songs that I like it, like Kurt, I like Space Truckin'. I love that song anyways by Deep Purple. I also like when he did Street Fighting Man off the first one.
Yeah.
Even the cover of Rock and Roll Hell, that's interesting that he
Oh,
does that
yeah.
from an album that he didn't play on, but that you can see
Yes.
his face on the cover. So that it was really an interesting twist. And
Yes.
yeah, I take it for what it is, which is a lot of fun. And he's like, you have no expectations. Either you like the cover he did or not. But aside from that, I think they're fun albums for what they are.
I agree.
That's great. Yeah. So, I think if we go back to the original question, yeah, I think it was a good step in the right direction. And if you compare that, those albums came out after the trilogy that we were discussing some minutes ago. I actually even noticed a change in the sound. So how those albums were produced and how they were mixed and mastered, I think they sound great. And I particularly really like those albums. I agree with you, Pask. So Ace's vocals sometimes, when you listen to a record, A to Z, sometimes it's a bit too much. But still, the songs that he picked, they're awesome. And there's been rumors saying that most of the songs that went into Origins 2 were recorded at the same time as he was doing Origins 1. So maybe that's why he came up with the second album, of covers. But I like them. To me, that was a good pathway to what we're having now with 10,000 Volts. I don't know. I see some kind of relationship between, even though 10,000 Volts, it's all original, songs except for one. I don't know. I see this as a trilogy too, even from the cover point of view and how they sound. I like them. I really like them. I think it was a good step in the right direction.
Okay. So I think that every Kiss fan would agree that Ace captured lightning in a bottle with his 1978 solo album. I don't, by the way. I'll get back to that. But now, with the release of 10,000 Volts, did lightning strike twice? Patrick.
Maybe in a sense that he was able to, I believe what I've heard so far with 10,000 Volts is the first record that I got hooked on it, the same since Trouble Walking, that instantly was like, wow, this is good stuff. I had no expectations because I don't, not just Ace, but any band that says on the next album is going to be the best one you ever did, I don't even pay attention to that. It's the moment is when I put it in my sound system. And the minute I bought it, I put it in my car and I was like, wow, okay, I like it right away. That's a good sign. And lightning strikes twice in the sense that he was able to, is it as good as this 78 solo album? No, but I'm happy that he used that as a reference to say I gotta be at least as good as that. Better, but at least trying. I think it was a good model. So yeah, we can say lightning strikes twice in that sense.
I was so curious on your opinion, Pat, because you're such a big Ace fan. So I just wanted to know. So you love the album, right? So you
Yeah, it's
loved it
pretty
right
good.
away.
Yeah. I haven't had the time to listen to it as much as I wanted to because I only got it on Friday and I'm not one that likes to listen to it online. So, but so far I like what I heard for
Nice.
sure.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Flavio, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, lightning strike twice. I don't think so, but what I can say is that after the 78, this is my favorite so far. I like every tune, and I can listen to it, from beginning to end. I don't skip any songs, which is a great sign. And I've been listening to it, quite often. So it's not that it wasn't only once or twice. So I'm happy for him. And so I have to say that I'm going to kind of insist on the fact that he seems to be happy. He seems to be in the comfort zone. And his collaboration with Steve Brown, I think it was essential. It was key for Ace to kind of go to another dimension. And very close to be strike two, but still there. And say, I really like it.
Okay. All right, Kurt.
Well, I will say this. I love the first album, the solo 78. And I would have to say, out of this series of stuff, 10,000 Volts is my favorite non-Frehley Comet stuff.
Okay.
So I think lightning has struck twice, and I think the fans are super excited about it. When have you seen any of the Kiss solo albums of any kind with this much talk? I mean, it's all over YouTube, it's all over Facebook, it's all over the internet. So there's a huge excitement about this. And had he not came out with the song 10,000 Volts to begin with, I don't necessarily think it would have had the momentum that it has right now. So I think that they've done a great job of getting us excited about it. And like again, 1,500 fans for an autograph, all this momentum building up, the excitement, it's still going on. I've seen all kind of different things on YouTube discussing this album, ranking this album, talking about this album, promoting, and we are as well, and we're excited about it. I don't know if had it been Spaceman, if we would have been, that excited about it. So for me, lightning has struck twice.
There you go.
You guys are gonna hate me now. Okay. All right. So I don't believe lightning struck with his first solo album. It was a good album. I really liked it. It wasn't my favorite solo album. I liked the Paul's better, but it was good. But there were some songs that I would skip over. It was a good album. It was a great start to what could have been potentially an amazing solo career on Ace's part, if he had more drive and motivation and focus on what he was doing. And he tried that with his first solo efforts, his first trilogy. He tried it again with his second trilogy. He was coming closer with his origins, but man, after all these years, I think he's finally gotten there. I believe lightning struck with this album.
Oh,
I
wow.
can't believe after all of these years, after all these albums he's released something so freaking amazing. And maybe it's
Wow.
just me, I don't know. But oh my, I love this. I've been listening to it at least three times a day since I got it on Friday. It's ridiculous. And I'm loving it more and more.
Nice.
So for the first time, the hype was true. It's going to be just as good as the original. Nah, it was better. It was better. And I understand, the production on it, the auto tuning on it. He didn't play all the solo. I get all that. But like I said in a previous episode, who cares? Look at the product that we got. It's amazing. We're so lucky to have this product in our hands. So good on Ace, good on everybody involved with this album. What an incredible achievement. Lightning struck.
There you go.
I
Voila.
agree. I think it's perfect timing too, because with the end of the road and all of us Kiss fans, wanting more and not necessarily having anything to really look forward to that we know of. We have speculation, and I certainly love what Kiss is putting out, but we don't really know about it. It just kind of drops. There's no really, excitement built up about or anything. So Ace comes out and all this excitement builds, and it's, that again, like, all right, we got a new album out. This is great. So I think as a Kiss fan, I think it's perfect timing for his solo album. If it was a year from now, I don't know that we'd be having this discussion.
You're
But
right.
and I know that if it was put out before Kiss, the end of Kiss, the end of the road, I don't know that we would have the same discussion.
Yep.
But with timing the way it is right now, I think lightning struck twice in a big major way, and he's riding that lightning of a success right there. So
There you go. That's a very, very good point, actually. I think I don't know if it was planned or not, but to me, it was a very smart decision to release the record now. And actually, even more, and I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me, So after the end of the row, there were big expectations of Kiss maybe releasing the box set of the debut album, okay, in early February. That didn't happen. So that thing, I think that even gave Ace, you know, more chances, you know, of having, you know, Kiss fans so anxious to kind of you know, get put our hands on new stuff. And actually, I think it's important to know that the promotion that he had, and Kurt, you touched on this topic before, that was remarkable. I've never seen so much traffic on the net from Ace, you know, interviews, you know, videos, you know, teasers here and there, even, you know, what he said. And we had a let me know, a short talk with Pask when he was kind of you know, blasting Gene and Paul. I don't know that had anything to do with the success of the album, but he was there. He was in your face all the time. And mm-hmm. that helped a lot. That helped a lot.
I agree completely.
And now we see him shopping at Walmart and shopping for groceries, you know?
Walking the dog.
Walking, you know?
It's fun. Yeah. So guys, one final question. So to tie everything together, we started talking about, you know, being an underdog, an outcast, and how do you guys think that will Kistory look back on Ace Frehley? How will Kistory look back on Ace Frehley now? Kurt, I'm going to start with you. Good question.
Well, I think honestly, I think the four original members, even though I love, you know, members that came after Kiss, after Gene and Paul and Ace, you know, but I think the four of those guys are our Beatles. You know, we you know, some like Paul McCartney and some love Ringo Starr and some love George and some love John. And I think we have that with Kiss. So I think that, you know, Ace fans are going to love Ace. You know, they're going to look at him as one of those four icons. And I think it's going to be very favorable. And I think certainly they have proved that with their iconic images. When you go to see the show and they got the giant statues, or, you know, they're iconic, they're larger than life, they're comic book heroes. So I think that they're very unique in that way. So I think it'll be very favorable for Ace Frehley. And then anybody, you know, kids that kind of get caught up in that imagery and go, well, let me check this out, and they listen to his albums, are gonna find it to be like his personality in one way mm-hmm. or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Patrick?
I think Ace will be seen as the guy who influenced a lot of people to pick up a guitar and play. And I think that's how he's going to be seen in history, because I keep hearing, you know, people our age or even maybe younger saying, I picked up a guitar because Ace inspired me to. Now, is he the best in that regards? That's debatable, but that's not the point. I think Ace brought style and a unique sound, and I think that's what he'll be remembered for. Because remember, Gene and Paul, the minute they auditioned him before he started to play, they were not too enthusiastic about him because of probably his behavior or whatever. But my point is that the minute he plugged in and played, they were like, oh, okay, we got something here.
Yeah.
Gene and Paul being, you know, they had a vision. They knew he was the right guy. Him and Peter were the right guys to take this to the next level. Whatever happened after, that's another story. But that being said, I think Ace is the one that completed the sound. When you hear a solo on the guitar solo on any early Kiss album, you go, that's the signature. That's the sound.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he'll be remembered for. I think that's why he's loved so much, because he was there and he inspired a lot of, as the guys in Pearl Jam, Pantera, Anthrax, most of those guys picked up a guitar because of Ace.
He's the fun uncle in the band.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the one that bought you fireworks when you weren't supposed to have firecrackers.
There you go. There you go. Pask, what do you think?
I think time will tell, because Paul and Gene in Kiss accomplished so much. But Ace will have accomplished something that Gene and Paul could never. People are going to remember Ace in Kiss, everything he's done in Kiss. But I think people are also going to remember Ace for his solo efforts. And I'm not sure I would say that if 10,000 Volts wasn't as good as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of this album, I think it's put him on a different level. And I hope he continues to ride, as you said, Kurt, that lightning bolt and continue to rise. And I hope he steps up his game during his live performances. Because I think people are going to remember him for both In Kiss and his solo career. I don't believe that people are going to remember Gene and Paul that way. You know, after the end of the road, whatever Paul decides to do, whatever Gene decides to do, they are never going to be remembered for that. They're going to be remembered for Kiss only. I think Ace will be remembered for both.
Good point.
Wow. You're excited with the 10,000 Volts, my friend.
I really am.
I love it. I love it. Look, I think that as much as I love, you know, every era of Kiss, you know, the 80s, Bruce Kulick, you know, Vinnie Vincent, even Tommy Thayer, I think that when people look back, will look back at in history, and I think that, you know, Patrick, he said it the best way. To me, that's the definition of the Kiss sound. So not only him, but, you know, how he was playing with Paul. Those two guys playing together, they created that sound that is going to be irreplaceable. And that's why I think, look, this is a very interesting one. That's why we have so many Aces fans and so much controversy with Tommy Thayer. We don't have that controversy with Eric Singer and Peter Criss because of the makeup and all of that. And that's because, you know, Ace created this stamp, this staple of how he plays and the sound that he created, that it cannot be duplicated. It cannot be replicated. So, again, I'm so happy that he got back to the Kiss sound because, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me, but when I listen to the solos on 10,000 Volts, I see a lot of Kiss there, man. And, you know, even back Into My Arms Again, which is, you know, a demo from 84, that's listening like Freely's Comet again. You know, that's awesome. And again, just to long story short, how will he be remembered? He's the son of Kiss to me.
That's strong right there. That's really strong because that's a great statement. Undeniably, the four of them created a sound together, which is, it's like gears, you know, and work so well together. And then they're that glue that you know, that they all are doing from to this day. So I think it's great. That's great.
And, you know, you, Kurt, being a musician, so you, you know better than anybody else here that even though the music in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s changed, I think that the way he was playing with Paul, you know, that created Kiss's sound. That was this sound, you know?
Absolutely. And in the 80s, you know, it needed to change. Would that Kiss be successful in the 80s? And I'm not so sure they would, you know? And then so we were lucky and very fortunate to have all the members that we've had at the times that we've had them, including Tommy Thayer, you know, to continue that, because if that hadn't happened, if they took off the makeup, I really don't feel they would be as successful. You know, once Peter and Ace were out of the band, if they took the makeup back off, they would have played smaller venues, but they didn't, and they kept that going. So we still had that excitement to go to, and so yes, I think that they're all equally important for the era that they were all in. Gene, Paul, and Peter are always going to be our Beatles. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this has been great, man. So I cannot believe we can be talking this for forever. Man, we can stay here and be talking. It's been a true pleasure, Kurt, to have you on the show. And again, Patrick, always so much fun, you know, to have you and
Thanks
exchange
for
opinions and your views. So thank you so much, guys, for being here. Thank you.
Thank you. And may I say one more thing, because I didn't earlier mention my bass player, Greg Thompson and Mike Kanzler. We're talking about bands, and they're an incredible rhythm section, and they're incredible musicians on their own. And I felt bad that I didn't mention them earlier. So we couldn't have our sound without everybody in the band, and that equally impacts everything. So thank you for having me. I am a big fan. I have wanted to do a panel discussion, so thank you guys so much for having me on. Thank you for helping us with the album, and I, as a Kiss fan, love what you do, and I look forward to every episode, and I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I want our listeners to know that, after they finish listening to this episode, to go into the comment section on the Kiss Army Nation page and check out your interview back way back in episode 63.
63.
And even back then, we promised you that you would be back. It's
Thank you.
been over a year. Thank you for your patience, but you're here. And it was a fantastic time, and we encourage our listeners to listen to your album, to get your album. It is amazing. It is a lot of fun. And what I love about this podcast and the guests that we have, the discussions might not always be Kiss, but they're Kiss related. And if you look at their musical tastes, it's fair. We all have similar tastes because, in a sense, it's related to Kiss. So even listening to this album, you're going to hear some Kiss on this. Absolutely. Absolutely. So they're going to enjoy it, and I hope they give it a listen and let us know what they what you think.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, you can hear it on all of the streaming platforms as well. So my brother Mike, I have to say this, he pointed out some, he said, "Look, you sound like Ace there. You sound like Ace
Right.
there."
Exactly.
Really? I never, honestly, I never kind of thought that, but I humbly think and very thankful. I'll agree to it. There you
It's the truth.
go.
So thanks again, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And Patrick, again, thank you to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
The minute we invited you, hey, talking about Ace, I'm in.
Great.
Awesome. Thanks again, everyone.
Thanks.
To the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talk to me at KissArmyNationPodcast.com. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.